Well, thank you, Mr. Guy. And a very pleasant good afternoon to all of you, and happy Sabbath. Hope you're enjoying this beautiful Sabbath day. These last couple of days have been just about as good as it gets here in eastern Ohio and western Pennsylvania, I think, in terms of weather. Just gorgeous days. Hope that we're all enjoying the information we're receiving from Mr. Franks and the updates from headquarters that we receive. Of course, these are all things that we used to receive in the form of letters, but I know that Mr. Franks is very determined to and keenly aware of the information that is needed for us, that he constantly wants to keep us informed on what's going on at the headquarters and in the work and so forth. One of the things that was mentioned there, he mentioned several times at the conference, was that he had about a four-month period before he was transferred to Austin, Texas, when he didn't really have, so to speak, an assignment. That's before CAGWA, Church of God, a Worldwide Association, started. And so he went back and he read all of Mr. Armstrong's letters, I'm assuming all that were available. There were many of them online. He said there were some 2,500 letters that Mr. Armstrong wrote. And he said if you average that out, Mr. Armstrong wrote a letter a week on average for 50 years. That's what 2,500 letters would be. So he was always communicating with the brethren, and Mr. Franks is also very aware of that need and determined to do that. So I think we'll see that information coming out. Now, one of the things we see, of course, with technological advances, that we're getting this information in the form of video presentations oftentimes instead of letters, although we still, I think, will receive a monthly letter from him and in a variety of ways. One of the things that has been discussed and is being discussed is that we don't receive information in the mail. We don't get letters or information in the mail. We receive it pretty much online, or oftentimes it's done through others, some of us who maybe don't have the information. And if you're not receiving the information regularly, make sure that you let us know. Let me know if you don't have access to online information and you're not receiving it on a regular basis. We'll try to make sure that we make provisions to do that for you. And I know that even the One Accord magazine, the monthly magazine, will be sent out in the mail to those who do not have internet access and have a need for that. But Mr. Franks is, I know, very aware of the need to communicate, and I hope we appreciate that, and we'll take advantage of that and make sure we view those things online. We always try to show them here. We decided today, since we had one announcement, that there's one of the things that has happened with the In Accord program is it's also kind of replaced the letters that we used to receive. We used to receive them on Thursday and Friday, and then we would read them here from the lectern on the Sabbath. Well, it's kind of replaced that. So we decided to go ahead and show that for the announcements today. We may do that sometimes, not always, but we do try to show it, I think, each week after services for those who don't have access to it, so that you can make sure you stay aware of what's happening in the church. Mr. and Mrs. Myers, of course, are in Akron only today, and that's why they're not here today. So they'll be back with us next Sabbath. We were able to see many of us them last evening at the picnic. Appreciate all of you coming to the picnic, as many of you as did, and we've had a very enjoyable occasion. Again, God gave us a beautiful evening in terms of weather, and so it was an enjoyable occasion. Good to see all of you and to fellowship with all of you. Well, brethren, why? I better take a sip of water here already. Why did we choose to be born in the United States? Now, of course, we know that that question is not one. We didn't choose that, did we? We didn't choose that, but we were fortunate enough to be born in this wonderful land that God has blessed so mightily. None of us chose to be born here. But God certainly did and was merciful in that way and allowed us to be born here. God made a promise to a man by the name of Abraham many years ago. And we have been recipients of that promise. We've been recipients of that wonderful promise and wonderful blessings. But how much do we know about the rest of the world? Now, Mr. Franks was talking in his message about that. There's an emphasis on that, that we're a worldwide association, a worldwide work. How much do we know? How much do we care about the rest of the world? You know, we live in our little communities in Sharon, Pennsylvania, or Newcastle, or East Palestine, or Salem, or Youngstown. I'm trying to make sure I don't leave anybody out here. Austintown, Andover, somewhere up north. We live in our little communities, and God has blessed us, and we go about our business on a day-to-day basis, and we are blessed. We are a very blessed nation, a very blessed people. How much do we know and care about the rest of the world? What is our attitude about people from other cultures and other countries? Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, Mr. Franks in the video just read that. I'll go back to that because I want to make a point of emphasis that he made at the conference we recently had. Matthew chapter 24. Actually, let's go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, since Mr. Franks had turned to this scripture and didn't turn to Mark chapter 15 and chapter 16 and verse 15. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14 says, "This gospel, the gospel of the kingdom of God, the most important message that we could possibly have, most important thing, really, that we could possibly do." You know, brethren, we're involved in the most important work, the work of God, that the most important work, we have the fortune of being involved in the most important work that we could possibly have. There's nothing more important, really, and there's nothing more important that we could be involved in. We do many, many things in our lives, but the most important thing is our involvement in the work of the very God, of God Almighty. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15 says, "And he said to them, go into all the world." Mr. Franks made this a point of emphasis, "and preach the gospel to every creature." That's a very big job. You know, Mr. Kylo made a presentation, when he made his presentation on the new website and the new proclamation of the gospel to the world, he talked about the fact that our target audience, you know, when most businesses and in business, we have a small, narrow, focused target audience, many times geographically in certain parts of the country. Many businesses just do business in this general little region, or maybe in the United States, or maybe in North America, maybe in North America and another country or two. But he said our target audience is the whole world. The whole world. All the world. Mr. Myers last week referred to a note that Mr. Kylo read to us, and I thought I'd read some of those things to us that he read to us regarding if the world's population, if we could reduce the world's population to a village of precisely 100 people. You know, something that maybe is more manageable to us in our thought process than, you know, 5% of what, 8 billion people or however many are on the earth today, 6 billion. If we could reduce the world's population to a village of precisely 100 people, with all the existing ratios remaining the same, the demographics would look something like this. The village would have 61 Asians, 13 Africans, 12 Europeans, 5 Latin Americans, I'm sorry, 9 Latin Americans, and 5 from the United States and Canada. Think about that. So we're a big minority in that sense. 50 would be male, 50 would be female. 75 would be non-white, Caucasian, 25 would be white. 67 would be non-Christian, 33 would be Christian. 80 out of 100 would live in substandard housing. 16 would be unable to read or write. 50 would be malnourished and 1 dying of starvation. 33 would be without access to safe water supply. 39 would lack access to improved sanitation. 24 would not have any electricity, and 76 that do, and rather the 76 that do have electricity, most would only use it for light at night. 1 would have a college education. 1 would have HIV. 2 would be near birth, 1 near death. 5 would control 32% of the world's wealth. All 5 would be U.S. citizens. Think about that. 48 would live on less than $2 a day. 20 would live on less than $1 U.S. dollar a day. Less than. That means they would live on less than $365 a year. Think about that. 20 out of the world's population. I thought that was a fascinating little read that Mr. Kylo presented to us as we think about the world. Amazing statistics, really, of the world that we, you and I, are part of that, have an opportunity to be a part of that we have a responsibility to reach. We talk about here in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 that we have to reach every creature that we have a responsibility to reach. But it's an incredible and exciting opportunity, isn't it? Incredible and exciting opportunity that we have solutions that God has shown us. You know, not anything special really that we did, that God has shown us. We have solutions to issues, don't we? We have solutions to issues. How much do we love the world? I'm talking about the people that are in the world. You know, God, or Christ rather, Jesus Christ in John chapter 3 and verse 16 said, God so loved the world. Of course, we know that scripture. It's one of those memory scriptures for many of us if we grew up in Protestant churches. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How much do we love the world? The people in the world, so to speak. And rather, not the ways of the world. We're told not to love the ways of the world, but the people of the world and people in the world. Do we love people in the world? You know, how do we feel? What's our attitude again about the people of the world? Let's today take a look at how we are to treat those who are not of the same country and culture that we are. Let's take a look at some scriptures in the Old Testament and then in the New about how we are to treat those who are not of the same country and culture that we are. Sometimes we get lost in our little world. We get lost in our stuff. You know, we read there that there are people, you know, 20 people out of 100 live on less than one U.S. dollar a day. It's an amazing statistic. You know, they didn't get up this morning and, you know, open their refrigerators and you know, have it so full that you don't know how you get everything in there. You know, that ever happened to us? Sure it did. Sometimes our refrigerators overflow, don't they? We don't know how to, we have to reorganize things and sometimes pull things out just to get everything in our refrigerators. Their concern probably was, how am I going to find something to eat for breakfast? And then after breakfast, how am I going to find something to eat for lunch? And yet, you know, our refrigerators are full of food. So we'll go through a number of scriptures, passages, to see how God instructs us to treat others. How God instructs us to treat others. That's much, you know, of what the Bible is about, isn't it? The Bible is a book of history, you know, one that we follow, as we heard in the sermonette. It's a book of history, a book of forward-looking, a book of prophecy, and a book of instruction on how to live, how we should have our relationship with God, and how we should have a relationship with one another. Yeah, the Bible is a book about all of those things. Deuteronomy chapter 4 we'll begin with and read a scripture here on really highlighting how important and how good God's way is. How good God's way is. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now, O Israel, listen. Listen. Instruction for us that we're to listen. Listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God of your fathers is giving you. Let's drop down to verse 5. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, these statutes and judgments. Be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of peoples. In the sight of peoples. Not just people, as we can read here, it says, who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. So the things that we do is to have that kind of an effect on peoples around the world, on other peoples and other cultures, that they see. You know, we put emphasis oftentimes on providing proper examples. Well, other nations can view, really, this wonderful thing. God said that they can view this wonderful thing. You know, we sometimes have that. We've heard of stories and situations where, you know, we've been at the feast, for instance, where we are gathered as a large group of people. And, you know, people have, we have oftentimes been impressed, made comments about the examples that have been set. Perhaps sometimes, you know, that hasn't happened as much as we'd like, but oftentimes they see the examples that people set. People often recognize and appreciate the results of our practice. They don't agree with the religion and the things that we do. They don't understand and recognize where it comes from, that it really isn't us. It's God's Spirit working in us. But they appreciate the results of it. Oftentimes, you know, it happens in employer and employee situations. I know that, you know, when we work hard as employees, our employers appreciate that, don't they? They appreciate that and they notice and they recognize that. And it's a godly principle that we follow. So, well, oftentimes, those godly principles that are followed are recognized. Sometimes, again, people don't agree with them, but here we see that it's wisdom, that your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of peoples, others will notice those things. So we need and we have that responsibility to be and set always an appropriate and proper example. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, we'll get into beginning to discuss a little bit about how we are to treat others and And we see in Deuteronomy chapter 28, we know that often referred to as the blessing and cursing chapters. Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28, they're referred to as blessing and cursing. And the reason is because God talks about that. In verse 2, he says, all these blessings shall come upon you. And, you know, so it's a blessing. And I'd have to look down here and see where, you know, if we don't do those things, oftentimes these are natural consequences. You know, they're natural consequences for the things we do, physically and spiritually. You know, if we are on this building and we decide to climb up on a ladder and climb down on a ladder, the natural consequence is going to be much better than if we decide to jump off or fall off. The natural consequence is going to be, if we fall off or jump off, it's probably not going to be very pleasant. So these are natural consequences oftentimes, that if we do things correctly, the natural consequence is a blessing. If we do things incorrectly and we sin, oftentimes the natural consequence is difficulty and curses. And we see that. We can read here in verse 12, where it says, the Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, and give rain in your land. You know, and bless... give rain in your land in its season, and bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Now, you know, aren't going to go into this necessarily today in terms of that, but we can see the consequences, can't we? Around the world, where people are borrowing and not lending. And this country is in that same boat. We have trillions of dollars in debt. Just a natural consequence that they're going to be difficult. Let's drop down to verse 43. Verse 43 says this. Verse 43 says, the alien, the stranger, in the King James Version, uses the word stranger. The alien who is among you shall rise higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. I'm going to focus a bit today on this alien, the stranger that is among us. You know, the stranger is in the Hebrew means a foreigner, or an alien, a sojourner, or a stranger. And the meaning of it is anyone who lives in a country of which he or she is not a full native or landowning citizen. The Hebrew lexicon says, a person living out of his own country. Now, this is not a prophecy sermon or a political sermon. It's not about, you know, fences and borders and all those kind of things. You know, while the examples we use in the Old Testament will be more specifically about people, strangers living in Israel... so many of the scriptures will pertain to that and will be more specifically about that. There are principles and lessons that we can learn in how to treat those who are not of our country, not of this country that we live in. There are principles and lessons that we can learn. And we'll look at some of those today. You know, we are, after all, as we've discussed, a part of a worldwide association. You and I are a part of that. We support that, don't we? We are part of a worldwide association. And so you and I have a responsibility there to make sure that we learn how we are to treat others, those who are not of this country. 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 17, give you a reference scripture in Exodus chapter 12 in verse 38, talks about the fact that when Israel came out of Egypt, they came out as a mixed multitude. There were many that came out. They came out a mixed multitude. There were others from other nations who came out with them. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 38, we can see that there was a mixed multitude. We'll see how Israel was instructed to treat that mixed multitude. And brethren, you and I are a part of a mixed multitude that we'll talk about a little bit. We're part of a mixed multitude as well. That we have brothers and sisters who are not of the same physical citizenship of this country like we are. Second Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 17, I'm not there yet, and you probably are. But you all know that I cannot do two things at once, so I can only talk and turn or turn and talk. So I'm not there yet. Second Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 17. It says, then Solomon numbered all the aliens. Here we see again the aliens. They were numbered. He numbered all the aliens who were in the land of Israel after the census in which David his father had numbered them. So Solomon numbered all the aliens, all the strangers, all the foreigners. Sojourners is the different terms that are used in defining what this alien is, and he numbered, and there were found to be 153,600, so a pretty large multitude of people that were aliens, were foreigners, were not a part of Israel originally, were not Israelites, you know, natively Israelites. 153,600 people. That's quite a few people. So Israel needed laws governing how to treat these people. They needed laws governing how to do that. And God began to give them laws and give them understanding. Now there are different classifications of foreigners and sojourners or strangers, even in this country. You know, there are different classifications. Some are permanent. We'll read a little bit about those and how to treat them. Again, we can learn lessons with regard to how we can treat others who are not of this country, who are not native Americans like we are. Some were temporary. We have a young lady, as many of you know, as all of you know, I think, because of the fact that I've mentioned it a few times, living with us temporarily. And she's temporary. You know, some probably in Israel were temporary. But she's here legally until August the 1st. If she doesn't go home before then she would be illegal. She would be an illegal alien here. She would not be legal. Her visa expires she has a 1-year visa. And she came on August 1st of last year, and so she's going home the last week in July. Give herself a few extra days so similarly, you know, there were some here strangers, aliens. So there are different types of aliens. You know, some adopted the culture and the religion of Israel, and they were considered full citizens. We'll look at some of those. First Kings chapter 8. We'll see some of that as we go along. Some considered full citizens of Israel. 1 Kings chapter 8. And we'll see here there was the dedication of the temple and Solomon's prayer. We'll begin to see how God treated people, how God instructed the treatment, inspired the treatment of others. Verse 22 says, and Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of the congregation of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above, on earth below like you, who keep your covenant and mercy, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their heart. So here Solomon was praying to God, and he had a heartfelt prayer. We read through this in verse 33, we read Solomon saying, when your people, Israel, are defeated before an army, before an enemy rather, because they have sinned against you, when they turn back to you, confess your name and pray and make supplication to you in this temple, then hear in heaven and forgive their sin, forgive rather the sin of your people Israel, and bring them back to the land which you gave to their fathers. So Solomon was making a very strong, you know, compassionate, a prayer of passion here. And he said, when your people sin, and then if we drop down to verse 41, we drop down to verse 41, as he was praying, he said, "Moreover, concerning the foreigner who are not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country for your name's sake, beat them down." No, God didn't say that, did he? He didn't say, "Let us abuse them or beat them down." He said, "For they will hear your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm. When he comes in praise toward this temple here in heaven, your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you." Solomon was also asking that the foreigner be treated the same way, not differently. You know, we'll see that in a few minutes as we go through some of these scriptures, that they're not to be treated differently. They're to be treated the same way. And Solomon here, as he was praying in verse 33 and 34, he talked about God's forgiveness of the people of Israel. And then in verse 41, 42, 43, he talked about the fact that the foreigner, the sojourner, the stranger, be treated the same way. They not be treated differently. Verse 43 says, "Hear from here in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all which the foreigner calls to you, that all peoples, and that's our responsibility, isn't it? When we talk about preaching the gospel to all, every creature, to all people all over the world, that all peoples, again, this is that word, that plurality of peoples, all peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name." So Solomon here was praying for all people, that there's not, you know, that everybody is treated the same way, that God treats and thinks of all people. He loves that person, you know, that is making less than a dollar a day, or that has less than a dollar a day to live on, as much as he loves you and as much as he loves me, that he loves all people, you know, that he, you know, God so loved the whole world, all people in the world. Exodus chapter 12 is an interesting scripture, a point of scriptures. Back to Exodus chapter 12 in verse 43. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 43. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 43 says, "And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. No outsider shall eat it." No outsider shall eat it. Verse 45 says, "A sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat it." So we see that, you know, a foreigner, a sojourner, a stranger. Let's drop down to verse 48. And it says, "When a stranger sojourns with you and wants to keep the Passover of the Lord." Now we saw here that they were not to eat it, but here we see that it can be eaten, but there's a process, isn't there? Verse 48 says, "Let all the males be circumcised, and let them come, and then, it says, let him come near and keep it, for he shall be as a native of the land. He shall be as a native of the land, for no uncircumcised person, shall eat it." So there is a process that God has for people to become natives of the land. Now that's, of course, we understand that spiritual application, but here they had to adopt the religion to become a citizen. We have to adopt the religion, really, to become a citizen, don't we? To adopt a religion to become a citizen. You know, it's the foundation here of the New Testament, but we see this principle here in the Old Testament as well. See these principles scattered throughout the Old Testament, not just in the New Testament, of how we're to treat people. Deuteronomy chapter 10, so citizenship, it becomes important that they're to become citizens. They're to be treated like a citizen if they take on those customs and take on that citizenship. We're to treat them like citizens. Again, this is specific to the nation of Israel, of ancient Israel, but there are lessons that we can, principles and lessons that we can learn today as well. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 17. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 17. Deuteronomy 10:17 says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe." God does not show partiality. We'll read that in the New Testament in a little while as well. He does not show partiality. God is not a respecter of persons. God is fair with everyone. With everyone. God doesn't treat one person one way and another person another way. God is fair with everyone. God is always just. And as we read here, He is not partial. And again, we're learning this from the Old Testament. You know, the old, that oftentimes people think of or refer to this harsh God of the Old Testament. Well, all of these things so far that we've read about how to treat people and how to interact and treat one another, we've read in the Old Testament. God showed Israel, began to show Israel how to do that. How they are to treat people from other cultures and other nations. And again, sometimes we're not talking here about cultures specifically. Some cultures are very barbaric. Not talking about that, but we're talking about how we are to treat and think of other people in other nations. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. So we're learning this from the Old Testament. Not the New Testament, although again we'll get to a few points there in a little bit. Leviticus chapter 19, how we're to think of and treat others. Those other people around the world. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 33 and 34. Leviticus chapter 19 verse 33 says, if a stranger, sojourns with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. You shall not mistreat him. You know, we can't mistreat other people just because they're not from here, so we'll take advantage of them. We'll bring them by busloads into our facility and have them work for us for a little bit of money because they're not, you know, from here. We're not to mistreat them, God said. They're not to be mistreated. We see that many times, you know, in our country. Sometimes people do that. They hire people at a very low wage because they can get away with it as long as they can. That's a mistreatment. God said we're not to mistreat them. Verse 34 says, "But the stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself." Oftentimes, this verse is a point of contention as well, because people will try to tell you that the new commandment there is, Christ gave, said, "A new commandment I give you." Christ said, really the new commandment there that was the "as I have loved you" part. But here, in the Old Testament, God said that we are to love our neighbors, love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I made that point at one time. Israel was a stranger in the land of Egypt. We're strangers, as we'll talk about in a little bit. We really are strangers. So we can't mistreat someone just because they're not of us. But what is mankind's history? Mankind's history is one of prejudice. You know, we fight and battle that in our country all the time. Discussions go on about mistreatment, about prejudice. You know, oppression. How many times have we seen government, oppressive governments overthrown? And then what do the people do that overthrow them? They oppress. They do the same thing that the country that, you know, of the people who oppress them, they do the same thing. So, you know, we're not to mistreat others. We're to treat them and love them as a brother, like one born among you, God said here in verse 34. And the lesson for us is that we're part of a worldwide association, aren't we? You know, we have as many in ours, Mr. Franks mentioned, we have as many, almost 50% of our brothers and sisters in the Church of God, a worldwide association, are from outside of our country. And we need to think about that. And we all have the same citizenship, don't we, with our brethren in countries around the world, and it's not of this world. Our citizenship is not of this world, is it? It's of a better world, a world to come. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17. We're part of a worldwide association. It's a wonderful privilege for us to be that. And we need to make sure that we have the right attitude about people around the world. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17 says, "Then I commanded your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge rightly between a man and his brother, or the stranger who is with him." Those strangers were to be treated rightly and judged rightly, treated the same way as the Israelites. So those judgments are the same. Just because someone, you know, is in one country or another, the judgment is to be there to be treated rightly. Judged rightly. The principle there is that they be treated rightly. You shall not show partiality in judgment. So we're instructed to do that as well. We're not to show partiality in the judgments that we make just because, you know, someone is, you know, of a certain ethnic background. We're not to judge that way. You know, we're not to show partiality. You shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid in any man's presence, for the judgment is God's. The case that is too hard for you, bring it to me and I will hear it. And that's a whole other story there. But the point there being is that we're not to show partiality in how we handle matters because of our nationalities. We're to have a proper attitude in the way that we treat and treat everyone the same way in terms of our judgment and the way we treat one another. Deuteronomy 24 and verse 14, I'll let you reference that scripture. Deuteronomy 24 and verse 14. I do want to turn to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 10. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 10. The point is that we're not free to abuse people. That's an Old Testament standard, and a variety of ways that we could abuse people and not treat people correctly and properly because they're not maybe of the same culture or ethnic background that we are. Not to show partiality in that way. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 10, we see a principle here. It says, "But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle." So it's not like you're going to take your horses and send them out to plow. "Nor the stranger who is within your gates." And we follow that principle today, don't we? That we don't have the stranger, those on the outside working today for us. Because we're not to do that. God said that we're nor the stranger that is within your gates. So the strangers rest also, don't they? We can say the same reference in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 11 with regard to the Feast of Tabernacles. Again, you can jot that scripture down. We won't go there. But we're to see that we're to treat people fairly and to judge rightly and fair. And that We're not to mistreat people just because of their nationality. God showed that clearly to the nation of Israel, and we can learn that principle as well. And we can stay in touch and treat them like what they are, brothers and sisters. So let's wrap up today with a couple of New Testament scriptures in this regard. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. And this is what we commonly refer to as the golden rule. Many of you can quote that, the golden rule, you know. The scripture reads, verse 12 reads, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do you also to them." So, do unto others, we say, as you want others to do unto you. Now, we often think about this in terms of negative items, negative things, like, you know, we don't want somebody to hit us, so we shouldn't hit somebody, or negative ways, but we have to think of it in a positive way as well, that, you know, sometimes there are things that we might like for someone to do for us. And so we have to think of it in terms of, well, you know what, if I apply this particular scripture, then, you know, there might be something that I like done for me, I should do it for them, kind of a thing. That we do it, that we look at it in a positive way as well, not just in a negative way, but this refers to all. So whether or not it's someone that is our neighbor, whether it's us in this room that all know each other, or whether it's someone from another country or whatever the case may be, we're to treat them like we want to be treated, aren't we? Don't we? We're to treat them like we would want to be treated. James chapter 2, we'll see a New Testament scripture with regard to partiality. I wanted to cover this as well. Thought I'd cover a couple of these scriptures in the New Testament as well. Most of what we've gone through, though, has been Old Testament, but these same types of principles, oftentimes we think of them more as New Testament principles, but they're God's way. You know, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's ways have been fair in treatment forever, always. And God began to teach that in the nation of Israel. And then he heightened that and expanded on that through Jesus Christ in the New Testament. James chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality." We're not to be partial. You know, the principle here is, "For if there should come unto you your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes." Sometimes we want to do that. Sometimes that we can have that kind of an attitude. That person only makes or lives on a dollar, less than a dollar a year. We don't want anything to do with them, perhaps. We can have that attitude. I know none of us do, but we can. "And you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' but you say to the poor man, 'You stand there or sit here at my footstool.' You have you not shown partiality?" So we can show partiality in that way. Verse 9 puts it very succinctly, says, "But if you show partiality, you commit sin." Commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. So we cannot be and show that kind of partiality, can we? God said not to, as we read back in the book of Deuteronomy, that we're not to show partiality, that we're to treat, you know, one, treat all the same in that way. Galatians chapter 3. Debating whether to read Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28 or Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11. I think we'll go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. They both basically say the same thing. I think, you know, in his letter to the Colossians, he may have had a copy machine and copied the same, or simply because Paul said similar things. But you can write down Colossians 3 verse 11. We'll go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. It says, "For there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ." We have brethren all over the world, don't we? You and I have brethren all over the world. It's interesting that we do. I know that, you know, I've mentioned before, I think, that when we went to the feast one year in Acapulco, it was kind of fascinating because about half the sermons were in Spanish and translated into English, and then about half the sermons were in English translated to Spanish. So on the Spanish-speaking days, we had a little headset on, and we would have it translated. And I always thought it was kind of fascinating that when those Spanish ministers were speaking in their language, they were speaking the same thing. Kind of fascinating when you hear and actually see that and experience that firsthand. I know some of you probably have done that as well. You've experienced that firsthand. But it is kind of fact, we're all the same. God treats us all the same, and God doesn't treat us with partiality and make one better than the other, does he? And we need to develop and have that attitude as well. Romans chapter 3, book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 22. Romans chapter 3 and verse 22. Romans chapter 3 and verse 22 says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ to all, and on all who believe, for there is no difference." There is no difference on all who believe, for there is no difference. We're all in the same boat in that regard, aren't we? We're all in the same boat. God doesn't treat, you know, one person who may live in some poorer country. God doesn't have, a higher vision of us or someone that may be wealthier or have more things than he does people in a poorer country. In fact, and as we always hear and see, I've never experienced it personally, but their attitude oftentimes is happier than our attitude, who have more things than we have places to put things oftentimes. And they don't. But they're very happy people typically. 1 Peter chapter 2, a couple of scriptures to wrap up here. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. First kind of summarizes things a little bit for us. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Peter said, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners." The King James original said strangers. We're all strangers in this world. You and I are, aren't we? We're all strangers in this world. "I beg you as sojourners, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." So Peter referenced us as sojourners, as strangers ourselves. We are from a different country, really, aren't we? We're citizens ultimately of the kingdom of God. So we're called sojourners and strangers. And we have brethren around the world who are sojourners and strangers with us. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13 in this regard. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. Here we see this faith chapter, as it's often known as. And this kind of story of heroes. As we begin, we could begin reading about that in verse 4, really, about Abel and Enoch and Abraham and Jacob, Isaac and Jacob. Verse 13 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers." Strangers. Not really of this country. Our citizenship is really, obviously we are in a physical way citizens of the United States, but we have a much greater purpose. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You and I are, brethren, we're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Our citizenship really is not of this world. Our ultimate citizenship is in the kingdom of God, where there is not and will not be prejudice, where there is not and will not be partiality because of nationality. There won't be any of that. So we're very blessed, aren't we? Very blessed to be in this country, to have been born here. We have so many wonderful blessings. We are part of a worldwide association. Church of God, a worldwide association. We have brothers and sisters all over the world. All over the world. Let's stay prayerfully aware of our brothers and sisters' needs. Have an appropriate and right attitude toward them, as we read there in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, Exodus. Let's stay prayerfully aware of the needs of our brethren around the world, and make sure we follow God's instructions. We heard in the sermonette, we follow God's instruction on how we treat our brothers and sisters, our brethren around the world.